You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, we are continuing with our series of Shirim, the Tree of Life, the Torah of the Tree of Life, the Torah of the Eitz Chaim, the Torah of the Self down here within the worlds of separation. As we discussed in the introductory Shir, what we're going to try and do in this series of Shirim is analyze the phenomenon of human experience, the day-to-day experiences that we have, whether it be on a psychological level, an emotional level, a spiritual level, a physical level, certain moods or hues or colors of experience, postures, things that we do that generally speaking appear to be devoid of meaning, generally speaking appear to be simply part and parcel of the habituated nature of human experience that's not based on any novelty or urgency, but rather a repetition of that which always was and the continuity of something simply because that's what it always has been. And instead of operating in the mindlessness of experience, of just taking our moods and our postures and our human experience for granted, what we're going to try and do is we're going to try and uncover the pockets of Torah that rest specifically in those places. Because as we said, we descend out of Gan Eden, we leave Gan Eden, we're kicked out of the Torah of Atzilus, where the Torah is refined in all of the matters of spirituality, and it's not connected necessarily to the body or the human experience. But then once kicked out and falling into the death-bringing spaces where we no longer have the Torah to speak to us in the way that we needed it to, so the tzaddikim come along, especially the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Nachman, the second last tzaddikim of the Yechidei HaDoros after the Arizal, as we said, and they came along and they taught the secret of Me'besari Echaza, that a person must come to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu from within their human experience, from within the place that they find themselves. And yes, it was always obvious that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was found in those places, but that awareness was meant to be learned from the books itself. What the Baal Shem Tov and Rabbi Nachman did is that they revealed that reality from within the fallen places themselves. It's one thing to look at the fallen places from a theoretical perspective, from an idealism that says, yes, those things take place, yes, the fall takes place, but nevertheless, seen from within the grand view of spirituality and transcendence, it's also going to be revealed eventually to be part and parcel of the good. So on a theoretical level, on a mind level, that can bring comfort to the individual, but there still remains a deep separation between the Torah of Atzilus, the way that things are supposed to be, and the Torah of Bri Yetzir Nasiya, the way that things actually are. As opposed to what the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh and Rabbi Nachman came along and did was to reveal that once we find ourselves in this place, in this distance, in this world of separation where we can no longer retreat back to that place of Atzilus, we can no longer retrieve the hidden path that brought us back up there, but rather we have fallen to the places that we have fallen. So then came a time, Eis Laso Eis LaHashem Hifru Sarasecha, that experience became the Torah of Bri Yetzirah Nasiya itself. That when a Yid found themselves in stuckness, when a Yid found themselves in the Shuk, when a Yid found themselves encountering human experience with all of its vicissitudes and all of its embodied and psychologically embodied state, instead of looking at these things as opportunities that needed to be pushed away for the sake of the spiritual tendencies, it was shown that the spiritual tendency rests hidden within the physical tendency of this human experience, that specifically within the postures and the moods and the natural experiences that we have, is where we're going to encounter the deepest light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expression. Because as we said, obviously the Torah of Atzilus, the Torah of refinement, the Torah of clarity, the Torah of above the human experience is what we're aiming at. We're aiming towards that place of self-nullification, to make the self less robust and to allow the self becomes more translucent so that the light of infinitude can shine through it and not get stuck within the ego dynamics of the individual who is so perpetually desperate after affirmation and a feeling of okayness and the love that a person feels that they're undeserving of, etc., etc. That Sarche Amcha Merubim, each and every person has infinite desires for what they're seeking from their posturing in this world. But ultimately, the goal of the self is to be refined, to reveal that the actions of the self, whether conscious or unconscious, are aspects of the chariot towards becoming a chariot for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yes, obviously, we want to return back to that place of bittul, to the Torah of Atzilus. And like we said, that's the ultimate purpose. But the only way to gain a footing that allows us to have the deepest aspect of Torah, which is the Torah of Adam Kadmon, the Torah of Atikas Tima, the Torah that lets me descend down into the opposite of unity to reveal that the opposite of unity is also part and parcel of unity, thereby revealing an adornment to the original perfection, making perfection more perfect by way of the addition, by way of showing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can be found everywhere, even in the places that theoretically he can't be found. It's specifically through the descent in the Torah of Bria Yetzirah Nasiya that we have the capacity to reveal the Torah of Atikas Tima, which is the secret of how the Torah of Atzilus and the Torah of Bria Yetzirah Nasiya are ultimately part and parcel of the same thing. That the way that we encounter ourselves on the ideal level and the way that we encounter ourselves on the real level, in spite of the fact that they appear different, nevertheless, they're two expressions of a fundamental unity that can only be expressed in two ways. Because achas dibur aleikim shtayim zu shamati. This is the secret of above the mountain and below the mountain, that Matan Torah had to be given in Shavuos and it had to be given on Purim. It had to be given mitzad the neshama and it had to be given mitzad the guf. It had to be given from the perspective of the Torah of Atzilus and it had to be given through the perspective of the Torah of separation. And just as there needed to be an Eitz Chaim, a tree of life that we descended away from, entering into the confusion and the doubtful nature of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, which is the world of separation and the world of human experience and all of its vicissitudes. What we know from the tzaddikim is that the tree of life does not exist outside of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, that Gan Eden doesn't exist outside of our awareness of where we find ourselves, but rather by digging down deep into the very core and fabric and texture of the experience itself, one will come to find that Gan Eden perpetually exists in the mind and that there's always going to be Nakuda of the Eitz HaChayim that rests nested at the heart of the Eitz HaDas Tovra experience. And only through Birurim and clarifications and refinement and ego nullification, and Tahara and Kedusha, and all of the prerequisite steps that a person takes to refine themselves in accordance with what their capacity is as an Eved Hashem, as a human being, to be the best that one can be with the opportunity to change for the better over and over, with that proper posture, our entire lives becomes a place of Torah. The entirety of a person's experience begins to be the Torah Kaduma. It begins to be the Torah and the Derech Eretz Shekadma LaTorah. It begins to be that place of encountering HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Beis Medrash experience, but it also reveals the ability to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the in-between moments of our lives, in the walking, in the talking, in the mundanity of it all, in the natural tendencies of the human being to fall into the natural sway of things, to fall into temporal fragmentation, what it means to live with time awareness, what it means to live with spatial awareness, what it means to yawn, what it means to feel the body in its heaviness, et cetera, et cetera. And the reason that we're going to be focusing on all of these moods or these elements of self, and they're not necessarily going to be connected in any specific order, they're not necessarily going to be in a right arrangement with the partsufim or the spheros, they'll all be associated, obviously. But nevertheless, the reason for just choosing what the mood, the posture, the aspect is to reveal that it's more often than not specifically in the most habituated, mundane elements of ourselves that we are going to encounter the deepest truths. That as the Ramchal wrote, as Rav Moshe Chaim Letzato, Schus Yagen Aleinu wrote in his Akdama to the magnificent, magnificent expression of Kedusha, the book of Maseilas Yesharim, the path of the just, the 26 chapters that bring Yid to Ruach HaKodesh. In the Hakdama, what the Ramchal writes is that it's more often than not in the most basic revealed truths that we encounter on a day-to-day basis that we can find the most basic orientation towards what needs to be done into the depths of being. But ultimately, and I'm paraphrasing, but ultimately as a result of growing naturally attuned and accustomed to the presentation of what life is on a regular basis, of how I function, how I act, how the world runs, so ultimately, I lose sight of the novelty of these revelations and what was originally something that surprised me and created a sense of urgency and movement upwards as a result of such a surprise has been covered over by a certain habituated sense that it's now not saying anything at all because it's so present it feels like absolutely nothing. It's like water. This is water in the sense that a person is not even aware of the place that they're saturated in because it's so protective and so ever-present. But because of that, we lose sight of the value of it, and we live our lives ignorant to the spiritual depths that rests within the everydayness of experience. And so to dislodge ourselves, to begin to look anew at the human experience and how we function, and again, all of this is coming from the ruminations of my limited understanding of the Torah of the Tzaddikim throughout the generations, but only through my interpretation, so it's something that can be taken or left. But ultimately, it's specifically in these places that tend to be most obvious to us that if we cultivate an awareness of them and we can dig down deep enough to uncover the light of novelty and the newness that exists at every moment, we'll come to celebrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every area in our lives, especially the human ones. And so what I wanted to speak about today, Be'ezras Hashem, is the element of hope, is the element of hoping, the fact that an individual human being is a hoping creature, a creature that hopes towards something beyond itself. And when speaking about hope within the spirit, when speaking about hope within the psychic conditions of the mind, a person also has to make way for the edges of hope, which is going to be the question of patience and the question of yearning. Patience and yearning, these three elements of self, which can be identified by so many different words and nuanced ways throughout the Torah HaKadosh and all of the commentaries afterwards. But ultimately, hope, as expressed in the Hebrew word kivui, as I understand it, is going to represent the ability for a human being to break free from the stuckness of time. That being born, being a human being, is already being born into the confines of time, is already being stuck within a past, present, and a future. And by definition, a past, present, future orientation leaves us stuck between two edges. The past, when mishandled or when just overwhelmed by, leads us to a place of sadness or despondency over something that has already passed away and is no longer present. The reality of the future fills us with a certain anticipatory dread over what's going to be next, a certain anxiety of sorts. And therefore, it's only in the present moment that a person can seemingly gain their bearings to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the momentary nature of experience, the fact that a person has to align themselves to the present moment, is really the only way a person can free themselves from the waves of sadness or excitation in an overwhelming way. But when a person digs down deep into the present moment, when a person digs down deep into where they are right here, right now, disconnecting myself from being chased by the past or running after the future, we come to find that the present moment, as wondrous as it is, as powerful as it is, as a therapeutic tool to take a person away from the sadness of the past or the overwhelmingness of the future, the present nature of orientation does carry a risk with it. Because when a person focuses on the present, when a person is only focused on the right here, right now, when a person has cut their mind off from the that which was and the that which will be and is focusing primarily on the that which is right now, we run the risk of falling prey to the notion that as I am right now is as I will always be. That the way things are right now in this moment, that the negativity, the struggle, the pain, the heavy feelings, all of the things that feel that they can't be lifted as they exist where they are right here, right now, are always going to be there. And yes, pausing to remain in the present is going to be a very functional tool, but learning to live one's life as if they're only stuck in the present is a nihilistic, negative perspective which leads to a certain pessimism that I am what I am and I cannot change. And so as powerful as present orientation is of being in the hova, nevertheless, it's best used as a weapon to deal with the struggles of the past or the future and the overwhelmingness of the future and the sadness of the past so that we can break free from that and fight and find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the moment. But to orient oneself to the fact that only the moment exists can leave a person feeling like there's no possibility of change. And in a place where there's no possibility of change, if I am the way I am right here, right now, and I can't go back on the things that have led me to become the way I am right now, nor can I take steps to change how I'm going to be in the future, because all I have is right here, right now. All I have is what I feel right here, right now. So that's what leads to hopelessness. Hopelessness is the foreclosure on the possibility of change for the better in relationship to the stuckness that I feel at this moment. Again, hopelessness is the foreclosure on the possibility of change for the better in the future from the relative perspective of where I find myself struggling right now in the present. Hopelessness, yeyush, means that the ingredients necessary, the recipe necessary to reorient my way of being right now, whether it be intellectual, emotional, or physical, is deficient. The recipe, there's not enough ingredients for me to be able to change. I'm simply missing something. There's something integral to the process of change that is absent from my hands right now. And as a result of that, I don't have the ability of change. The future is closed off from me. The past is closed off from me. And as a result, whatever is in the present moment is what the present moment is. And we know one of the elements of Nietzsche, what Nietzsche said in his book about the Zarathustrian repetition of sorts, Lahavdil Alfei Avdolos, I'm bringing this point to bring out an akuda. when done in the wrong way, the hove, the present moment, and a person is only stuck in the present to the degree that I can't change anything in the future or from the past, that's going to be a mixed bag. Because in one moment, I'll look at something like that, and if it was a pleasurable moment or a good moment, I'll say, this is the greatest bliss in the world. But if it was a difficult moment and there's heaviness, and all of us have heaviness, then the eternal repetition of the now, that stuckness in the present now, and the inability to change the now for some openness of a future, which keeps the past stuck as well, leads to a despondency of spirit, leads to a celebration of nothingness. It leads to a pessimistic position that says all that there is what is broken right here, right now. And that is the place of hopelessness. That is the place where a person says, I'm no longer going to try and live with attachments because attachments bring suffering. And that is the natural tendency of the human mind to want to find comfort in the void of meaning, because it's in the void of meaning and the hopelessness that tells me that right here, right now, the way that I am is unchangeable and nothing is ever going to change and there's not going to be any circumstance that changes. That gives a person permission mentally, psychologically, physically to rest exactly where they're at, to toil in it and to wallow in that place. And so to be only in the present, to be stuck within the way I am right now is the way that things are always going to be, and they deny what I felt about myself in the past, and they deny my opportunity for a change in the future, that foreclosure on the possibility of change is the root of hopelessness. And Mamela, in order to understand the nature of hope, in order to understand the nature of Kivoy and what Kivoy does for an individual, what it means to be an individual who lives in a state of expectancy, a state of expecting something, a state of tzipia, a state of waiting for something that is not yet present, and being patient for something that is not yet present, and hoping towards something that is not yet present, and yearning towards something that is not yet present. In order to understand the power and the potency of those spiritual gifts which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has endowed us with, and the ability to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the basar itself, with Mebasari Echazeh, so we have to first and foremost understand the opposite of hope, which is hopelessness, this hopeless place of being stuck in the present, where the walls block me from what was before and what will be afterwards, only in that hova. And so hopelessness, what hopelessness does is it keeps a person stuck in their place. It keeps a person attached to the regularity of the previously held beliefs about themselves. It keeps a person stuck within the ruminations that the mind has already carved out for itself. When a person walks around hopeless, what they see is what is, and there's no possibility of change, and therefore the decay is final, and the decay implies a certain emptiness of all things. And any feeling of pain and any feeling of fear and any feeling of overwhelmingness is going to be met with an overwhelmingness that touches the very bedrock of self. Because if I know with absolute certainty that there's no way out of this situation, that I'm stuck and I can't change who I am because right now is right now and the future is far away and the past is already gone, so then a person is going to find hopelessness in all elements of their lives. A person is going to fall into the natural tendency of what appears to be acceptance of self, but rather is just a giving in to the natural proclivity of the self to descend downwards into its most comfortable position, which is inactivity and the voided state of things. And so a person has to fight. The person has to fight against the impulse of hopelessness, which swallows the possibility of change. And in hopelessness, there's no such thing as patience. There's only impatience, because patience is rooted in the fact that something is going to change, something new is going to come about. And because something new is going to come about, I'm willing to be patient for that thing. But if I know with certainty that nothing new is going to come about because I've closed my mind off to that possibility, because all I have is this eternally present now, God forbid. So then what that does to an individual is it says, why should I be patient? There's nothing to be patient for. There's nothing to wait for. And if there's nothing to wait for, I'm not going to wait for even a second. And that gives birth to the anger and the frustration and the resentment towards everything that causes me to not have the thing that I want so desperately. And so it's specifically from this place of hopelessness, from this place of yeyush or apparent yeyush, that we're going to properly understand the nature of hope. Because as the Ramchal points out, and this is really the idea that's taken from the Beis Medrash of the Ramchal, at least to one degree, because there was really nobody like the Ramchal who spoke about the sugya of hope, especially in his Drusha Kivoy, on his treatise, on his document about hope, as well as at the end of every one of his 515 tefillos with the ending of the pasuk Li Yeshuascha Kivisi Hashem, that it's towards your salvation that I hope, that my hope is for your salvation, that the Ramchal came to reinaugurate the possibility of hope, to break us out of that stagnation and that stuckness and that symptom of the right here, right now, as if the now is what will always be. Because what the Ramchal describes as hope is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world by making a tzimtzum, by creating a void. And it's in that voided place, it's in that halal that a person might come to feel that what is, and nothing will ever change. It appears to be devoid of vitality. It appears to be devoid of the process from past into the present, into the future, back to the past, into the present, into the future, back to the past, et cetera, ad infinitum. And it appears to be still and silent in its emptiness and its voided state, the halal, its death, its emptiness. There's nothing. What is there, and what is not there is not there. And it's understandable to see a perspective of Yayush from that perspective, of only being stuck in the halal, and that the tools that I have in this void are not strong enough to break me out of the void, and therefore all I can do is wallow in the void. But after Hashem created the halal, what he did next in the radical miracle of creation, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the capacity to even try and come to begin to understand the way that it works. And for us, the best that we can do is have the understanding of Leis Machshava Tfisa Beklal. No mind can grasp it. The heart can feel it, but even the heart can't grasp it fully. The heart can grasp the understanding that it can't grasp, but the heart speaks a language deeper than the mind. But even the heart can't speak the language of essence. Nothing speaks the language of essence. Nothing speaks the language of the thing itself, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'chvedo Yuva'atzmo. Everything else is commentary on experience, even the heart, even the heart. And that even though we know that the Zohar HaKadosh says at least machshava tfisa beklal, that no mind can grasp it whatsoever, aval tafasi beru'usa d'liba, but theoretically it can be grasped in the secret recess of the heart itself, in the world of emotion, in the world of the Torah of Bri, Yetzira, Nasi, in the world of experience. Nevertheless, we have to understand always, always, that no matter what commentary we give to human experience, no matter what commentary we give to the inner workings of the soul, no matter how deep and close we can come by way of the heart to touch upon what the heart desires so badly to give voice to, nevertheless, all of the language of the heart is also deficient. It's not only the language of the mind that's deficient. Yes, the language of the heart speaks a more powerful, vulnerable, potent language that can come closer to touching the heart, the real thing, and awakening the real thing itself to be niskala to us. But even the heart is limited. Everything is limited. Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kedushasi lemala mikdushaseichem. And therefore, any commentary that we give on our experiences is all but dependent on the contingent principles through human experience, which will never touch upon the essence of something itself. When a person finds himself stuck in that hove, stuck in that halal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals the secret of the kav or ein sof, the re-entrance of the infinite ray of light that descends back down into that vacant space that now appears to be voided with no possibility of change. And the radical mystery, the impossible mystery, the secret of faith between a ray of infinite light, a ray implies a measured nature of something, something that is contained. Infinite represents something that cannot be contained, but somehow it's the paradoxical power where the uncontainment of all things finds expression in containment, thereby revealing that containment itself is not really containing anything, but is reflective of that which can't be contained. And somehow, someway, HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends this Kav or Ein Sof back into the Halal, and then everything is illuminated once again in a new way. And so too with our experience, that the hopelessness that emerges from the void is the feeling that there's emptiness here. There's no more infinite light that can change the present. And therefore, the past and the future are disconnected from me, and I'm stuck in the quicksand of the now. And I'm forced to repeat it over and over and over and over, because if all that exists is right now, then all that exists is right now. But when the Kav enters back in, when the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters back in, what happens is change becomes possible again. The Shem Havaya without osios is niskala, and the Shem Havaya is what frees us from the present moment nature of being stuck, as if I can't change because the past was that and the future is that, but right now is right now. And it opens things back up to be the secret of Havaya again, the second expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that now extends itself down into that emptiness of my mind, which gives me the possibility to dislodge my present-minded nature that keeps me stuck in hopelessness and to open it back up to the fluidity of the past and the future, the secret of the Shem Havaya, Masha Haya, Masha Hoiva, Masha Yihya. That now I open myself back up to the possibility that things can change, that the way I am right now is not the way that it'll always be, because the halal appeared to be empty and then it was suddenly revealed not to be empty in a moment's flash. And the Kav, the Ramchal says, comes from a language of Kivoy, HaKol B'Kivoy, everything is in hope, because hope is the halal. Hope is the way that I break free from the external nature of being stuck in right here, right now, as if the conditions of reality are exactly what they're always going to be. And I free myself to the possibility that I can extend my mind into the future. I could extend my mind into the future and see myself as I would like to see myself from a perspective of redemption. I can see my best self, I can see my ideal self, and I can look back and extend myself back to the past. And I can look back at those experiences of the past and I can reorient myself to them, because what I've uncovered is the secret bridge that rests in the mind, the Gesher Tzar Ma'oid Ma'oid, which is the bridge of Kivoy. That hope is what breaks free from the present moment, and it extends both backwards and forwards to unify the past, present, and future. By hoping for something, my mind projects itself into the future, and somehow, some way, see the secret of faith and hope that exists within the mind. I can draw the light of the future into the present moment, and suddenly there's just a little bit moreness that is revealed within the confines of my condition in the here and now. What was previously impossible now appears to be a little bit less impossible. And that there's been an extension of things, that the claustrophobia of the moment and the closeness of the moment and the deadness of the moment has had a moment of trias amesim, where the past and the future open it back up and they allow it to see that it's just a fertile part of a transition from past, present into future, the secret of the Shem Havaya. The kav that comes back down into the chalal is the hope that enters back into our mind once we feel that there's nothing that can be done to change. Because even if a person can't change something practically, what hope informs a person is that I can always shift something in my mind. There's always a possibility of reorienting myself. But if I was stuck in the monad and the closeness and the jail cell of this moment, I would have never been able to draw upon the power of the infinite future to enable me to reorient the letters of my present moment. And hope is the gesture that the mind has in a moment of hopelessness, in a moment where it feels that ichkenisht, I cannot anymore. The walls have closed in. I can't change who I am. I can't stop doing what I do. I can't change feeling what I feel. Why? Because the past was the past and the future is the future. And right now is all that matters. And that's what I feel right now. And a person becomes sedimented in it. The secret of hope is that I'm not leaving the now. I'm extending myself from the now into the future. And I'm drawing upon myself and I'm saying, is there a possibility that I might look at reality differently in the future? And if yes, let me try and bend my mind to the positive through faith and trust in the reality of all things. And by that positive orientation, the future now gives shape to the possibility of moreness that the mind, through hope, brings back down into the mind in the present moment, thereby opening the mind up. And the hope itself has given me more hope in the present moment. Therefore, hoping for something is not simply hoping for the emergence of a particular hoped-for thing. That right now I'm hopeless, I hope that something else will come about to answer my hopelessness and free me from my hopelessness and give me hope. But hope itself is the mechanism through which hopelessness dissipates to be revealed to always be the opportunity for more. That the present moment is never disconnected, that the hova is never disconnected from the haya or the ihiya. That the shem havaya, the three parts of my mind, are always connected because the mind is a singular thing. And when I release the severity of the walls that block the present moment from the future and that block the present moment from the past, opening me up to realize that, yes, there's a certain narrative structure that I've been going through in this life and that I am the author of the narrative as well. Meaning to say that hope itself is not simply dependent upon the arrival of that which I'm hoping for, but the hoping itself opens the mind to the degree that I begin to be aware of the fact that maybe things will not continue to be the way that they are right now. Maybe things are going to change for the better. Maybe things are going to get well. Maybe things are going to open up. Maybe I will be able to shift in this direction. And that maybe, that asking, that questioning the certainty of the death of the moment and the inability to change is already the process of breaking down the walls of the closeness of self, which enables me to change. I uncover a hitherto revealed power within the self that was always already there, but it could not come about other than the way of hope. And so from this perspective, we see that in order for hope to be uncovered, in order for a person to uncover more within themselves from the present moment and extend themselves beyond their stuckness right now and to see themselves through the lens of the future, which can also reanimate their past orientation to self, a person has to dip on a certain level into that moment of hopelessness, into that moment of apparent hopelessness, because it's only from that hopelessness where a person forecloses on the possibility of changing who they are, what they are in accordance with the present moment. It's only in that foreclosure on the possibility of change through my own possibility that a person is forced to hope towards something beyond themselves. And it's through that kivoy, Lishuascha kivisi Hashem, Hashem, I don't know where the Yeshua is from. In accordance with every level of my understanding, there's no Yeshua to this moment. There's no Yeshua to the change. There's no Yeshua to the feeling. There's no Yeshua to the struggle. But it's only through collapsing the mind and foreclosing on the possibility of Yeshua for a certain second that a person will come to find that Yeshuascha kivisi Hashem. I've yearned for your salvation, and the yearning itself is the salvation. The Rebbe Rashab says incredibly, I'm sorry about the drilling. The Rebbe Rashab says incredibly that it's really only through a touching of hopelessness that a person can come to understand the true secret of hope, which is the secret of patience. That because to wait for something, to be patient for something to arrive, means that I've opened up the closedness of the moment to be aware of the fact that even though things appear to be a certain way right now, they will not always be this way. And because they will not always be this way, that puts me in the orientation of hoping towards something, hoping towards a moment of when things will be different. And that endows me with the capacity to be patient, because patience is the pregnant anticipation or expectancy that something is going to emerge that is going to shift what I thought was unshiftable. And for a revelation of that sort, so there's no amount of time that a person can't be patient. There's no amount of time that a person can't wait. And it's only through the hopelessness that gives way to hope towards a future, which then gives me the ability to wait, that waiting and patience is a symbol of hope. Because if I was hopeless, I wouldn't be waiting. The fact that I'm still waiting means that I'm fundamentally still within the endless rays of hope. And any time that I'm still waiting for salvation, even for a salvation from the hopelessness of salvation, that means that I still believe in hope. And this is the secret of Rabbi Nachman, Zchus Yagen Aleinu, tells us when it comes to hope. That hope is the most fundamental degree of what it means to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because the most forbidden thing is Yeyush, is hopelessness. Because hopelessness is a closing off of the self from the possibility of change. I am what I am, and I will never be anything different than what I am right now. And for Rabbi Nachman, and for the fullest expression of Panimiyas HaTorah, there is nothing more significant than the perpetual ability to begin again right here, right now, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perpetually beginning again right here and right now, from the depths of the infinite down to the most immaterialized form of concealment in this world. Every moment is from the Tzimtzum and a new Kav and a new revelation that I can from within the space of that I can't. And the hopelessness that, God forbid, takes a person out of themselves, because if I'm, God forbid, hopeless, and I close off on the possibility of changing the past or opening myself up in the future to something new, then the present moment itself is going to feel like it swallows me whole. It's going to feel like the mouth of the land that swallows the person whole. But ultimately, it's specifically from within that place where the tendency of hopelessness becomes so acute in its danger, so revealed in its power to cause a person to stop, that Rabbi Nachman screams out that it's forbidden to lose hope. It's forbidden to lose hope. A person is not allowed to lose hope. A person has to always perpetually ensure in their minds that they believe in the possibility of change, the mitzvah of tshuva, the ability to extend my mind back to the past where my mind was previously, and to uncover the irreducible trace of the infinite mind that remains there, because chelak eloi kamimal, and if it's remained to the source and connected to the source, then I can still change it and I can still reorient it. The secret of tshuva, of literally changing the intention and fixation of what the past experience was, and thereby elevating it to be part of a new, better narrative, as well as extending my mind into the future to draw down the lights of redemption. That possibility reveals that not only is it asur lehit yaish, but ein shem yaish b'olam klal. There's no such thing as hopelessness in the world. That hopelessness doesn't exist, because kol zman that my mind is functioning, there's always the opportunity for hope, because hope is what opens up the possibility of more. Hope is not that there is more that exists outside of me and I hope that it will enter in to the limitation of my experience. Hope is the little bit more that perpetually exists within inside of me, and when I utilize it, I open myself up more and more, as Rabbi Nachman describes in Torah Resh Pei Beis, that I always have the possibility of more within myself. And it's this kav that is coming back down into existence that gives hope to hopelessness, that allows me to extend myself beyond where I'm at right now, to change the circumstance, to see my life with porous boundaries, that allows me to retell my own narrative, that allows me to be patient, that allows me to wait for something, to realize that I'm not rushing anywhere away from where I'm at right now because I'm afraid that I'll always be here. I know that something is going to come. I know that the light is going to come. I know Mashiach is going to come. I know the redemption of this moment is going to come. And therefore, the waiting itself is endowed with a power of being part and process of hope itself. Waiting, hope, anticipation, expectation. The discomfort that rests at the heart of human experience, which is always seeking something out a little bit more. A little bit more. We're not talking about appetite now. We're not talking about craving. That's another class. But the hope is the roaring desire and knowledge that by extending my mind from the present moment towards the future and drawing the future back into my mind in the present moment, I have thereby redeemed the present moment, and the kivui itself is the goal. The hope is the goal. Chol koivaycha lo yevoshu v'lo yichomu lanetzach, zok de tzadikim, zok de putner. Why are we talking about all of our hope and yearning always remaining? Theoretically, when something arrives, the yearning towards that thing dissipates, and I no longer have to be hoping for something to arrive because it's already arrived. But it's specifically in this secret that when I uncover the power of hope, that hope delivers the hoped object to me, even if the object has not yet arrived, because the hope itself is the redemption. Liyeshuascha kivisi Hashem, if I want redemption, kivisi Hashem, I have to yearn for you. Liyeshuascha kivisi Hashem, crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the stuckness of the moment and shattering the boundaries open from the revelation that I can always be more in the next moment. I can always change. There's always the pathways of change that are in front of me. There's always the possibility of the Hirur Tshuva. That way I begin to walk slower in this world. I begin to have more patience, specifically because I know that the salvation is going to emerge. And all I have to do is to continue to hope for it. And all I have to do is to continue to believe in hope, because even belief is hope. Breath is hope. Every element of our experience is hope. Every desire to take one more step, to perpetually move further and further along the number line back towards the infinite, is another fundamental expression of the Kav coming down into the Chalal, of the possibility of hope being born out of a hopelessness of the moment. We live with such jail cells of impossibility that we're not even aware of the fact that we do half of the things, if not more, of what we conceive of as impossible on a regular basis. So what we carry on our backs is the notion that there's something hopeless in this world. There's something that's not going to change. There's something that can't change. There's something that can't be fixed. When in truth, everything can be fixed. There's nothing that cannot be fixed. As long as a person has hope, as long as a person is kave kavisi el Hashem, that the kivoy, the kav, the extension, the drawing, the kivoy, the mikvah, the lines that I build between myself and a future orientation to an awareness of infinitude that is not yet present, nevertheless, it becomes present by way of the fact of hoping towards it. And even though the hoped for thing has not arrived yet, in hoping for it, I touch that thing even though it hasn't arrived. And therefore, every aspect of hope is an arrival of Mashiach itself. And as the tzaddikim said, yearning for Mashiach to a certain degree is higher than the arrival of Mashiach. Because when I'm hoping for something, I am experiencing all of the possibilities of that redemption, and it's infinite in its possibility. I can hope towards everything. Hashem is infinite. The source of the Kav is infinite. And when Mashiach arrives, so then it's a particularly hoped for thing and not the infinite possibilities of it. But what we understand is v'chol kevecha lo yevoshu, Hashem will create such a secret that the power and the potency of hope, of extending our mind beyond the present moment, extending myself beyond the given circumstances of the right here, right now, will give me the ability to extend towards the future, coming back down into the present, shattering the limitations of the present, allowing myself to be more patient, allowing myself to be more present, allowing myself to live with calmness and yishuv hadas, with a quiet anticipation that is perpetually seeking the arrival of that which I do not need to demand. There's a trust inherent within hope. Hope is not demand. Hope is a willingness to hope. It's a revolution of a way of acquiring. Acquisition is, generally speaking, driven by greed, desire, or craving, which breeds force and speed, and it operates from a place of scarcity and a lack of enoughness. But hope is something that emerges from a place of saturation, a place from enoughness, of that there's enough for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for each and every person. And ultimately, from that place, a person is going to grow. From that place, a person is going to build. From that place, a person is going to extend themselves further and further, perpetually surprising themselves of revealing the deep secret of Rabbi Nachman and all the tzaddikim, that even when a person falls into hopelessness, even when it appears that a person has lost hope and that they're closed off in the present moment, nevertheless, we'll come to understand that ein shum yesh ba'olam klal, hopelessness does not exist, because as long as I am still consciously aware of the fact that I am consciously aware, there's always an opportunity to reorient myself in the lens of the greatest possibility. Abilities of self. The neshama is endless. It's rooted in the kav or in sof kav yachol. It's rooted in the nitzot habayra, which is mitzlabesh, and the nitzot hanivra, and it's miskala within nishmas ha'adam kav yachol through the secret of banamata Hashem v'lokechem, which means that we are the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hope, and it's our capacity to refine, to refine, to refine until we transition and transform every moment of closeness into the possibility of redemption be'ezras Hashem.
You've been listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the OR Podcast Network. Inward was created by Rabbi Zach Kamenetz and is produced by Zev Gavriel. The music is by Zusha. You can help support the production of this podcast by visiting us online at orpodcasts.com.